Welcome to today's Hearthstone Let's Talk Pella. I'm Andrew Schneider. District 79 Representative Dustin Height joins us on today's program to provide an update from the 2021 legislative session. Let's start with a couple of bills that passed unanimously from the Iowa House that has to deal with felonies in Iowa. Let our listeners know a little bit about those bills, including one that you led on the floor, and their importance, especially as it relates to felonies and other issues here related to crime in Iowa.
Yeah, so Andrew, the first one, and this one we did last year in the House, and or last session in the House, and it kind of got stopped, so hopefully it'll get going again this year over in the Senate, but was an amendment to the Constitution to remove the prohibition on felon voting. And, you know, we are one of two states that don't have an automatic restoration of voting rights for felons. And so I think this is really a second chance legislation. You know, after they've paid their debt, you know, done their time, paid their fines, paid their restitution, then it's time to say, okay, now you're bring them back into society. So that was the first one that passed unanimously off the House floor, but it's got to make its way through the Senate, and then again in 2 years we'll have to pass it another time since it amends the Constitution. So again, that's just one of those second chance legislation. And then the other one that I had the opportunity to floor manage was a bill actually written by Mary Wolfe, a Democrat from Clinton, but what it allows is after a period of 10 years, after a person has paid all their fines, done all their time, all of that kind of stuff, once in their lifetime, they get the opportunity to expunge that felony. And so what that would do, it would change a lot of things, get that off of their record. So what I'm thinking is the person that maybe had an OWI third offense, 15 years ago, or maybe the kid in college that maybe had a possession of marijuana charge that rose to the level of felony or something like that. You know, once you get past that 10-year mark, this would allow them to get it expunged. We believe, although there's some question about it, but we believe that it would allow them to get the right to possess firearms back. But really another piece of second chance legislation that passed unanimously off the House on Thursday, yesterday. So two things that I think are a great thing that we're doing for Iowans and a good example of where we're looking at maybe reevaluating how we look at crimes and criminals and that sort of thing.
Well, the other piece of this 10, 11 weeks that you've been up in Des Moines now and a lot of what you've been leading in the Iowa House has to do with education after you assume that role as the chair. And there are still a lot of bills that are moving through that survived the funnel and others that had passed the House this week of particular interest, one of which had some bipartisan support when it related to First Amendment issues. I know that has been a big concern, especially of the Republican Party here in Iowa as it relates to college campuses. And another, I believe, that I just saw recently passed had to do with open enrollment tied to the omnibus bill that the governor had proposed early in the session. I imagine those two things are still very key issues for you and your caucus, and talk about how those have worked their way through the House.
Yeah, so the First Amendment bill, that was one we did last week, and basically it required universities, the community college, to make sure that they have policies and procedures in place that they protect the First Amendment rights of our students. You know, over the past summer, there were three incidents, one on each of our Regents campuses, that really brought into light how students' First Amendment rights were being stifled, maybe. And so this just ensures that there's policies and procedures in place. That passed, there was only one no vote. So good piece of bipartisan legislation. And then we'll send that off to the Senate. They passed something similar in another bill. So hopefully we can get those two together and then get it down to the governor's desk. And then the other one was this past week, it was the third piece of the governor's legislation regarding schools. This was kind of what I call all the other part. And that dealt with lots of things from increasing the teacher expense deduction and the tuition and textbook tax credit to loosening up some of the rules regarding good cause for open enrollment and missing the deadline. Changing the, we call it sit time for people that kids that open enroll from 90 calendar days to 90 school days, or sorry, from 90 school days to 90 calendar days, so that, you know, those kids maybe with baseball or softball in the summer they're basically having to sit out, even though they're not getting credit for that time over the summer since it counts school days currently. And then a couple of other things, you know, I threw on an amendment that would require schools to pay out their teacher salary supplement money to the teachers. There was over around $10.5 million of that just sitting in school funds from up to over 10 years ago. So we'll make that go out, you know, this year, especially with teachers and all that they've done with. I think that's a good piece of legislation. That particular amendment passed unanimously. So that was really part of the overall, call it omnibus bill, regarding education this year.
Well, and speaking of education, one thing that you and I have talked about quite a bit is COVID-19. Obviously, early in the session, the governor signing a bill that required schools to go back in person, which largely only impacted metro schools, as many had already hit those provisions earlier in the year. And I know some of the stuff we talked about on top of the 2.4% state supplemental aid increase had to do with additional relief for COVID-19 and trying to help schools stay in person, especially as the pandemic is expected to continue, at least in some measure, over the course of this school year and possibly in the next. Where do we stand with some of those COVID-19 provisions as it relates to schools? And is there anything else legislatively that'll be done in regards to our K-12 education, whether it be in-person education or additional financial relief?
So if you remember, we in the House, I can't remember this before or after we talked, but we passed off a bill about $27 million, 27.2, I believe, that would go to schools who were in person, and then also those schools affected by the derecho. We passed that in the House, sent that over to the Senate. The Senate is still looking at it and deciding what they're going to do. Hopefully they will get that through and move that on. You know, one other thing, though, that kind of changes the way we look at things is there is an additional $770-odd million that the federal government is going to be giving to K-12 schools in Iowa. Through another relief package that would bring it the total up to a little bit over $1 billion. Like all the other funding that the federal government has given regarding COVID for K-12 schools, this is based on Title I students. And so schools like Pella, who have lower numbers of Title I students, the money that they are getting from the federal government is substantially less than other schools. You know, for instance, Des Moines Public Schools, obviously they're much bigger, but they're going to be getting a little over $100 million by the time this is all said and done. And I didn't have a chance to look at Pella, but I know it's a lot less per student. And so as we look at that, we're looking at ways that we can maybe adjust that, since we don't necessarily think that is a fair way to do it, especially for school districts like ones in my district. Aren't getting near as much as other ones. So looking at ways maybe we can use state funds to maybe even that out. I don't know if that's possible, but that's kind of where we're at on that. You know, there's always issues that pop up regarding COVID-19 in education. You know, one of the amendments that I put on the bill yesterday involves students that this past year started out in public school, went to private school because the public school wasn't in session, and went back to public school, making sure they could continue to play sports. Again, one of those just issues that pops up that we're just going to have to deal with for this year and hopefully not in the future. So, you know, those sorts of things are going to come up as we get wind up session. And then while I don't sit in any budget committee, that's probably the last big piece to fall before we close out session is getting the budget agreed to. The Senate's put out their target. We over in the House, I think, probably expect that this week. And we're looking at what the Senate's proposed and have some questions about that, so we'll work through that the rest of the session.
Once again, that was State Representative Dustin Height. If you missed any of our Let's Talk programs, you can find them online daily at KNIACableS.com under podcasts and subscribe through Google, Apple, or Spotify to never miss an episode. That concludes today's Hearthstone Let's Talk Pella. Hearthstone, a ministry of Wesley Life, supporting the health, independence, and well-being of older adults in Pella.